Any examples used are for illustrative purposes only and do not take into account your particular investment objectives, financial situation, or needs, and may not be suitable for all investors. It is not intended to predict the performance of any specific investment and is not a solicitation or recommendation of any investment strategy.
This is another Money Show. Get set for another hour of the latest financial information and economic news affecting your bottom line. JR and Anthony are committed to helping more Americans like you optimize their income, reduce their tax risk, and reach financial freedom. So let's start the show. Here are your hosts, Anthony Correo and JR Rochford.
Welcome again to another Money Show with your host, Anthony Correo, and we got JR Rochford here. One and only producer Sam Davis. So JR is feeling a bit under the weather these last few days, but is still here to join us, which is a beautiful thing. So I think he's just going to butt in here and there just to, you know, interrupt me and disrail everything. I like that unruly kid in the back of the class. That's what JR is doing. But we've got a topic that JR is going to love. So I definitely am glad that he's here to be included in this, because we're going to mention something. You know, JR talks in really big picture things, and he loves to give overviews, and I'm more of the nitty gritty, and I love having details. And we mentioned the term bail-in a lot, and nobody really fully knows what that is. You know, you've heard the bailout was big in 2008, you know, with taxpayer dollars bailing out all these massive banks and industries that have, you know, gambled with their money, but don't worry, they're going to recover nicely with our taxpayer dollars. So bail in is a bit of the opposite of that. It's where it's all internal. No taxpayer dollars should be used in this sense. However, how do you keep people from pulling all their money out of the bank? How do you prevent a run on the bank? Well, you don't let people have access to their money. That's a bail in. Oh, is that? See, I told you, JR, gonna come in, disrail everything. He's in here showing pictures of all the medicines he's taken.
You know why I'm here today, even on my deathbed? Not just because I love you and Sam. I mean, that's the sideline of this. I am a communist, a consummate professional.
You're a communist what?
Professional. I am a full-blown communist professional, so even when I don't feel well, I'm here. Yeah, so today my
bad. Is it because you want to share? You know, if you have a sickness, you want to share for the goodness of everybody, so everybody has your sickness?
Well, if we weren't in three different places, you know, and Sam, I would never go to your house, but Anthony, I would definitely go to yours.
Yeah, I'm surprised you're not here now coughing on doorbells and
So no, and you've piqued my interest, because talking about bailing, you know, even on my deathbed, boy, I get fired up when it comes to the talk of bailings. I think part of it is because we need to sound alarms. You know, everybody by this point knows, you know, whenever we talk about annuities and insurance products, the fine line we walk, and Anthony, you and I have discussed this pretty much weekly, is, are we still doing what we set out to do? Are we sounding alarms? Are we trying to wake people up, or are we slimy sales professionals? Are we trying to use this show to get people in our office? Well, the answer is both. The answer is obviously we want to be slimy as the next person. We need appointments. We got to keep the show going. Well, the show doesn't pay for itself. Thanks a lot, Janet Yellen. Thanks a lot. Who else have we hit up to?
Yeah, how do we get one of those sweet bailouts? Sam, will you bail us out? You've contacts in the Fed. The government.
I have some phone numbers.
Nice. We'll call Mark Kelly. He can bail us out.
Is there still COVID money? We should be using the COVID. I can be a sponsor today for COVID. I wonder if I do have COVID. I should go get tested. Except I don't want to get tested. I don't want to get out of bed. So, and I hope
it seems like you already know you're dying. Like, you don't need a test to tell you it's happening.
You're sick. Drink lots of fluid and get into bed. So anyway, the problem with trying not to be salesy, but trying to tell people about money and about financial stuff, is the whole thing is, if a bail-in is coming, you have to be prepared for it and you have to have a plan. I mean, what we're trying to do by sounding the alarms isn't just to get you scared. We've said this over and over. We want you prepared, not scared. So yeah, I think I'm really on the right track. we're going to have inflation keep going. It's going to get worse. We're going to have higher taxes. Sorry. You know,
we will change the definition of inflation and then we won't have it anymore. Those of you that haven't heard, the White House released a statement on how do economists determine whether the economy is in recession or not. And the whole thing is trying to sell you on the fact that, the way that people usually, decide what a recession is, it's not that anymore. We're going to change the rules. So that's how you fix a recession. That's how you fix inflation. You change the definition.
Think about inflation. Think about the last 2 years of inflation. I mean, think about what we were fed. And by the way, think about 2007, right before everything crashed, the worst since the Great Depression. They told us everything was okay. Think about who you're dealing with. 2 years ago, we didn't have inflation. They said there's no inflation. Then we get inflation and they said it's transitory. They came up with the word transitory. You and I did not. Sam, I hope you didn't give it to them because I don't want to throw you under the bus. So all of a sudden inflation is, there's no inflation. Then there's transitory inflation. Now there's inflation. Stop me when you think you know what I'm about to say next. Could we be heading towards hyperinflation? I mean, for Pete's sake, as much as I'm not trying to get people to listen to any other source than us, but start listening to another Salem station, the Patriot Group, start going on YouTube and looking for, sorry for the negative connotation, but from different perspectives on food shortages. Some of these, they say the word prepper. It's like, well, that's got a negative connotation. No, it doesn't. It's being prepared. I still believe that we end up this year with food shortages. I think there's going to still be a diesel exhaust fluid shortage. We talked about that a couple months ago. We're always trying to be ahead of the curve. We're trying to be proactive, not reactive. And I think we've done a good job on it. Last week, Sam, we discussed a little bit that, you're like, yeah, every week you're talking about all this stuff, when our patience is wearing thin. Jer, the sky's falling, Chicken Little. When's it going to happen? If I knew that, I probably wouldn't be here. I would probably
it's here and now, like all these bad things that we're warning people about, it's here. You just haven't felt it yet. So it seems like it's not here yet. And I think that's the biggest, it's whether or not you feel how bad things really are. And if you're not feeling it, then you're not concerned. Also, I thought you were sick and you derailed this almost immediately. I thought we were talking about bail-ins. It took you absolutely no time. You're like, I'm just going to sit in the back and I'll comment here and there. Just like, no, it's your show again.
Isn't it great that I'm only sick and not dead? So for next week, I'll be better than dead. Next week,
we know some mediums. We'll bring you back from the dead to talk about this show too.
I'm still showing up.
Call Murray.
I'm still showing up, dead or not. If I have to meet the Undertaker next week, it doesn't matter. I'm coming right back from it.
Oh, speaking of which, Sam met the Undertaker. How sweet is that for all of you WWF fans out there?
I wouldn't say I met him. I did pass him in front of a Popeyes in Terminal B of the Atlanta airport, but it was definitely the Undertaker.
Yeah, you don't easily confuse him for somebody else. So what I was saying is JR's big picture, conceptual, blah, blah, blah. I love pulling information. Not just articles, in Newsweek or Time or whatever. I like finding articles like when we talk about the FDIC and how little they actually have in the reserves. We're pulling information from the FDIC. So there's no middleman. There's no bias. This is their own words. So I came across something when we're talking about bail-ins. And again, just like talking about China over the last few weeks and their citizens not being able to access their money in their banks. You're like, but this is so far away. It was like, it doesn't matter. Anything that can happen in these other countries can happen here, and it's just a matter of time. So just because it's happening in China now and not necessarily here, you still need to be prepared. So when we talk about bail-ins, I found a document from the Bank of England. Again, the Bank of England isn't the U.S., We're Revolutionary War champions of 1776, so we don't have to answer to the Bank of England, but they're a pretty decent size world power. And, I feel like there's a lot of similarities between us. So from the Bank of England, which is essentially the Fed of the UK, they put out almost exactly a year ago in July of 2021, an article from their website saying, "Executing bail-in, an operational guide from the Bank of England." So here's, you know, it's one thing for us to say on this show every week, beware of a bail-in, here are the things that can happen. But what about this world power and their version of our Fed saying a bail-in's a real opportunity, like this is something that really could happen, and here's how we're going to do it. They're laying it out for you. So this isn't hearsay. This is them saying it. And it says in here, in their foreword, bail-in means we can be more confident that banks will be able to keep critical services operating through resolution and restructuring while maintaining appropriate financial resources and with costs borne by the failed bank's owners and investors rather than the depositors and taxpayers. Now, that's huge. However, that doesn't seem all that bad, right? Okay, it's a failing bank. This bail-in is going to let us as a depositor, because if you have money in these banks, that's what you are. Also, imagine you're a taxpayer, right? Everybody's income, federal, state, all these tax dollars that are going into these bailouts, they're saying, we're not going to have to worry about that. Your money's safe in the bank. As a taxpayer, we're not going to bail out these banks. They're going to make it due internally. However, what really happens during bail-ins? Because other countries have experiences. So this is nice that in their letter that they're going to tell us all fine and dandy and that the people at fault for a failing bank, the investors, the owners are going to take responsibility. What it actually happens? And Jer's raising his hand. I feel like he's got an opinion on this.
Oh, I got an opinion on everything. That's why I'm here. No, I know it's close to break time, so I want to explain what I think is going to happen during the bail-in. Let's take a break because it'll take a minute, and then let's you and I kind of discuss because we see things differently, and that's always a good thing. You know, at the end of the day, as long as we get along, I think it's great that we have different perspectives. So let's do this. Let's take a break. I'm going to go get another Ricola. Try saying that without singing it. So I'm going to go get another Ricola, and then please make sure you find us at www.anothermoneyshow.com. Thanks for being here.
Remember, all of JR and Anthony's listeners receive a free financial consultation just for listening to the show. Visit anothermoneyshow.com to learn more and schedule an appointment. Thanks for listening to Another Money Show and subscribing wherever you listen to podcasts.
I see the crystal raindrops fall and the beauty of it.
Are you concerned about market volatility, rising taxes from the Biden administration, and how it could affect your retirement? Then listen to Another Money Show with J.R. Rochford and Anthony Correo. Learn how you can reduce the taxes you pay before and during retirement. Another Money Show every Saturday at 4 p.m. on 960 The Patriot. Schedule your free, no-obligation consultation now by calling 623-523-0444. That's 623-523-0444. Another weekend, another money show. Visit anothermoneyshow.com.
You are back with Anthony Correo and J.R. Rochford, the hosts of Another Money Show. And right now we're talking about bail-in. So J.R.'s got, you know, that we're talking about what the Bank of England actually says in their letter as compared to what we've seen in the past for if a bail-in were to actually happen. We've also found, you know, we mentioned that our version of it, the FDIC, is called single point of entry is their strategy. Or it's not the FDIC, the Fed. So we're going to dig deeper into this, the Bank of England one I found first. So I read, you know, the 40, 50 pages of this resolution to kind of get an understanding of how this will work in another country. We're going to go do the same thing with the Fed and, you know, give you our findings. But it's definitely, it's not simple and not straightforward. You know, I mentioned in the foreword, it flat out says that this is the best resolution for taxpayer and depositors. And you, me, Sam, JR, we're depositors if we have money in these banks. We're also taxpayers. So us, it's saying it's not going to affect us. However, reading through this entire thing, it does not tell me how it's not going to affect us in our day-to-day. What they say is that there might not be a bailout, but what the government will do is they'll step in and they'll keep, you know, the reserves at a minimum. They're going to help them with financing the minimum during this resolution. Another thing I really found interesting, because they break it up into a few different parts, and one of those parts, you know, the pre-resolution planning, like saying essentially this bank is failing, what are we going to do? The next is something called a resolution weekend. JR, what's the time frame that you said if anything weird's going to happen, when is it going to happen?
Anything weird meaning when do I think a bail-in's coming?
Yeah.
Well, what I'm watching.
I mean, not for, like in general. So when the FDIC came and shut down the bank next to us, when did they show up?
Oh yeah, Friday night, Arizona time, 5 o'clock or later. Everything. Yep. When did Lehman Brothers?
5 o'clock on a Friday.
And why is that? 8 o'clock on the East Coast. Is that because we have the attention span of 72 hours? You know, in between there, we've taken a nap, cut the grass, watched a football game. I mean, I don't know. I hope we're not that dumb. I mean,
so in this resolution, it's literally called resolution weekend. If there's going to be a bail-in, they're flat out telling me we're going to tell you at 5 p.m. on a Friday. So I got very much a kick out of that.
Well, and banks, there's some federal law. They can only stay closed like either 2 or 3 days in a row. This is going to violate everything we've ever known in this country. So this is going to be a metamorphosis like we've never seen. But you know, you can close a bank on a Saturday, Sunday, and a legal holiday Monday, but then I think you have to be open the Friday before. There's some rule to that effect. So, I've heard that too,
and I don't know the specifics.
When the Friday night thing, I mean, when did the Affordable Care Act pass? Well, Friday night. I mean, when did Silver State Bank close? Friday night. When did our neighbor Desert Hills Bank close? Friday night. I mean, so, and you know, when you look at resolution weekend, NFL matchups, Rams at the Cardinals, that would mean they're failing in any country. So, no, I mean, you know, what you're going to watch for the word bank holiday. When we sound these alarms and we talk about the 10 pillars, it's like all of this bad stuff is going on concurrently. It's funny how being under the weather is making my articulation off. Oh, but I was able to say articulation. That's pretty cool, huh?
Yeah, nailed it.
Yeah, I mean, when you hear the word bank holiday, open your eyes quick. We've been telling you the word bail-in. If people start tossing that word around on a little more mainstream media, get yourself prepared quick. You know, I mean, if you hear this show and today's pretty much all about bail-in, if that's what we wind up doing the whole show about and you run out to the bank because you heard it from us, then that's not very smart. We're not giving you advice. We can never on a broad radio show give you specific advice. And we're not. We're telling you. We want you prepared, not scared. We want you to be one of the people like the people that got to the banks in Greece on Tuesday, Wednesday, or Thursday before they closed on a Friday to get some of your money or all of your money. You know, you go to a bank right now, walk into a bank anywhere in this country and ask for $5,000 or less, and I think you'll have no problem getting it. If you ask for $10,000, I don't know that you'll get it. They're going to make you make an appointment. They're going to make you go to two different branches. They're going to do something so you don't get it.
So let's go back to this real quick because I still want your input on what you think what could actually happen in a bail-in scenario. But I want to tell you, you know, what the Bank of England's saying. So basically they're talking about turning all of their assets, or they're trying to convert their liabilities into equity, talking about giving shareholders certificates of entitlement, which is essentially they're going to be shares of, you know, whatever you own in the bank. So you mentioned, I'm trying to find where it says in here, because, I mean, if you heard this show enough, Jared's just like, we're not telling you this so that you go and pull all of your money from the bank. And that's true. But have some. I mean, if you don't have any cash at home, you know, what happens if you're stuck in this bail-in situation and you're all of a sudden you have free access at any point right now to your money? And if they tell you next Monday, you know, this show airs on Saturday, if they tell you on Monday you don't actually have access to it, how well are you going to be able to survive or live off of what you currently have? So have a little bit. I mean, I found the dates in here. It talks about this could potentially last for 6 months. They said that's in their head, that's how long this will last if they have to go through this bail-in process. The next sentence underneath says, Yeah, but we don't actually know what it's going to take. It could take any time. So where they got the 6-month number, or why they even brought up the 6-month number, you know, there's no reason for that. What were you saying?
Well, a couple things. One is, no, they don't know. These things they put together, I mean, unless they have a crystal ball, this is speculation. You know, I can tell you it's kind of dangerous that you have access to that paperwork. It's kind of dangerous that you now have access to our Federal Reserve version of that. It's dangerous. In the military, there's a term called the need to know. And I'll tell you what, when the government is out of control, as they are right now, sorry, government, no offense to y'all, as much as we're out of control, off the rails, we shouldn't be able to talk about this with any kind of credibility. And yet here we are. I want to get heavily into what I think is going to happen with bail-in. I think we have to ease towards the next break, though. And by the way, all the 10 pillars, where I was going with that, there's always been stuff to worry about. I get that. There's never been this much. The 10 pillars are the big things, the inflation, the taxes, the middle class shrinking. Everybody sees it, whether they want to admit it or not. I don't know, but they see it. What I'm looking for is something that comes out of the blue in addition to, and then the whole cart tips. And that's what I think is coming. And my time frame, anywhere from tomorrow, you get out of bed tomorrow, anytime from tomorrow through the next 2 years. You get me through the midterms and monkeypox. Get me out of my bed. I mean, I feel like crap. So I just want to make it the next 2 days. But you know what? We got to wrap it up. Let's talk about how we see the bail-in playing out after the break. Is that okay?
Well, yeah. I want to get through a few more things that we have as like, here's hard facts. Here's stuff that's written down. And then we'll give our opinions and thoughts on actuality. But I want to get through it.
Let's take a break first and then we'll get to that.
Beautiful. We will see you after these messages.
You're listening to Another Money Show. To learn more and contact JR and Anthony, visit anothermoneyshow.com.
Roxanne, you don't have to put on the red light. Those days are over.
You're listening to Another Money Show.
All right, we are back again talking about bail-ins. Anthony Correo, J.R. Watchford, our beautiful producer, Sam Davis. You're listening to Another Money Show, where we like to talk to you about things that you're probably not hearing in the financial world. And I do believe bail-ins are one of them. You know, I've talked to some other financial advisors and mentioned the term bail-in, and they had no idea what I was talking about. So I don't think this is standard knowledge. So the odds are, you know, you listening to this program, this might be new to you too. But like we've said many times, you know, we want to be here to educate you on, you know, the things you may not know going on in the financial world. So I want to touch base on a few more things that I've read in this operational guide for the bail-in. And then we're going to talk about, you know, what we've seen historically and how these actually play out. And I think JR is going to have a lot of opinions on this one because, you know, we talked sometimes about, you know, going to the digital currency and how that's going to play out, you know, and I wanted to say that he is crazy in some of his ideas on how this will work out. But unfortunately, I found some stuff in writing, again, not from the Fed, but from the Bank of England, but how far off are these two countries really that are really going to feed into what JR is predicting could happen. So we talked about how the shares, the money, the assets, the liabilities, everything in these banks get put into CEs, certificates of entitlement. Well, there's a part when they talk about the bail-in period that says, once the evaluations have been completed, the bank will announce the terms of the exchange of these CEs. This will include exchange ratio of CEs for shares in the firm and possibly other assets for each class of CEs and a timetable for exchange. Now, here is the kicker. The next sentence after that, the exchange ratio for a class of CEs may be zero. So what does that mean? And also, again, reading through all of this, I said at the very beginning in the foreword, it talks about taxpayers and depositors. I see the word depositor nowhere else in this whole article. So it's talking about what they're doing for the internals and the ownership of these banks during this bail-in, but it's not telling me how it's going to affect me and you. So the more I read, the more I have a semi-decent understanding of it. And there's figure five on page 19, and it says, insolvency creditor hierarchy. So this is saying, who's entitled to what should this bank become insolvable? So just like you're familiar with the stock market and bonds, if you have bonds in GE and GE goes bankrupt, you're going to be paid first because you hold their liabilities. You're holding on to their debt. If you're a shareholder, that means you're an owner. That means you get paid last if there's anything left by the time that these corporations pay down their debts. It's the same thing with their debts. So if you are a shareholder, you are last in line. If you're a common shareholder, if you're a preferred shareholder, you're slightly above that shareholder. But the people that hold the debts of these banks are first in line should things go wrong, it goes insolvent, it goes bankrupt. Or, and then this is term, and you know, the whole episode today, we're talking about bail-ins. So when I read through this, number one is secured debts and other floating charges. Number two, liquidators, fees, and expenses. Number three, ordinary preferential debts. And number four is the only other part that I actually see where it mentions people with deposits. Secondary preferential debts, any amount owing to an individual in micro, smaller, medium-sized enterprises for amounts in excess of what would be payable in respect to an eligible deposit as exceeds any compensation that would be payable under FSCS. What the FSCS is the UK's version of the FDIC. So this is the only other part that makes it sound like a depositor. Me and you, if we're, you know, citizens of the UK and our bank goes insolvent or has a bail-in, this is where it puts us in there. So now when I look back at all the talks about the CEs, the entitlements, who has shares in these companies, it makes it sound like your money as a depositor is just kind of right in there with the middle of everything. So do you have access to take out if you've got $5,000 in the bank? Can you pull $5,000 out of the bank? Well, I don't know, but we're going to go back on one more break. We're going to come back. We're going to finish this up, and then we're going to get into what we're actually seeing during the bail-in process.
Thanks for listening to Another Money Show. If you like what you're hearing, be sure to leave us a rating and subscribe to the show wherever you listen to podcasts. This is Another Money Show, except this one's different. This one will actually keep you awake.
All right, we are back with Another Money Show. Anthony Correo, J.R. Rochford, and we're talking about bail-ins. So if you're just joining us, we pulled an operational guide from the Bank of England that lays out the plan. If they have to enforce a bail-in, what does that look like? So we talked about time frame. They're saying you may not have access to your money for 6 months. We're talking about who has access to their money and first rights. And it sounds like if you're any ordinary person and you have money in the bank, you're not first in line, you're not second, you're not even third. It's looking like you're fourth based on what we're reading from here. And that's if anything is left, you know. So we're talking about having potentially, you know, keeping some money at home. You know, and again, this is Bank of England we're talking about, but the FDIC has their own rules called single point of entry. We found that article recently. We're going to read through that one and kind of share what we found on there. But we wanted to share with what, you know, another world superpower is saying if they have to enforce a bail-in, what that's going to look like. That said, JR's been seeing bail-ins for years, you know, since 2008, and they kind of became popular, and they've happened across the world. But reading this statement, it sounds like it's not that bad. It's saying, you know, this should be good for taxpayers and good for depositors, and you're going to be taken care of this time instead of us putting all of this money you know, all our taxpayer dollars into bailing out these banks that have mismanaged their funds. But in all practicality, what does it look like? I mean, what have you seen, JR?
What is that movie that was really popular? The young kid, Bruce Willis was the main actor, and the kid's like, I see dead people. Remember what I'm talking about?
The Sixth Sense? Yeah, the M. Night Shyamalan movie.
You're making me sound like a bank bailing Sixth Sense dude. JR's been stealing bail-ins for years. He's crazy. JR's sitting in his tent looking for bail-ins. So
JR's been a ghost this whole time.
Yes. JR the ghost has so many thoughts, and I don't feel well, so it's hard for me to articulate them, but I'm going to do my best. All right.
Well, so you're closer to being an actual ghost.
Correct. Chances are I will be a ghost for next week. I'm still going to talk. Don't get me wrong. So a bail-in, what all it means during the last little correction in our country, 2007, the end of 07 through March 9th of 09, they did bail-ins. I mean, you guys are young. You probably didn't have much skin in the game. You didn't understand what was going on, but they gave money to AIG. They gave money to GM. They gave money to Chevrolet. They picked what they called too big to fail. Then there are the banks, the systematically important banks that they bail in. And basically that means they had to keep them afloat or the country would take a big giant dump. So they felt like it was important to use our tax dollars to print money, knowing, you know, fast forward to now. I mean, geez, look at the COVID stuff. Look at the money we've, you know, people that are surprised by the inflation. Oh, it's Ukraine. God, are you serious? I mean, you print trillions of dollars. Yes. I mean, we're adding to it. We're giving trillions of dollars to foreign countries still, you know, i.e. newest one, Ukraine. What do you think's going to happen? You know, one of the bedrocks of financial planning is to have a simple knowledge of certain things, being simple economics. There being generally accepted accounting practices. There are certain things we need to familiarize ourselves with to be a financial advisor. So, yeah, well, I mean, I guess you don't have to just be a financial salesperson. You don't really have to worry about all that. But if you're actually trying to be a planner or an advisor, there's things you should grasp. You know, nothing makes sense right now. So fast forward to the bail-in and things coming. And by the way, the rules were put in place in 2014 to do a bail-in in this country. They came out of the Patriot Act of 2001. I mean, look for certain words, look for Dodd-Frank, look for these different words, and you'll start putting two and two together, and you'll understand our government, as much as they seem inept and ridiculous, they're very smart. They very much know what the world's going through. They very much know that as long as our little peons country, you know, have bread and circuses, we'll be fine. You know, keep giving them sports. You know, in Arizona, we just signed on a football player. I know this is a sideline, but, you know, it's just my hype that's making me bring it up. I'm not going to even name, but we hired a new back. We didn't hire him. We extended a five-year contract. I'm not going to say Kyler Murray's name. $248 million. Does that sound right? You know, that's a quarter of $1 billion. I mean, all of a sudden that becomes real money. I think his first year is something like $50 million. So, and yes, I mean, that directly has to do with finances, Anthony. You're always worried about tying to finances.
Yeah, no, I was like, wait, get to the point, Jerry. I don't
there is no point. About. There is no point. I mean, you know any teachers or nurses, and they see these news stories where we're celebrating these young people. And in the guy's contract, it says you have to study. It literally in his contract, it says you have to study 4 hours a week or we can violate your contract. So there's a little interest sideline to it. But I'm just, when you talk about money, all of this, the reason it's directly related to the bail-in, because we are not watching what's going on. When the black swan that we are looking for gets here, it comes to our people, the people that listen to us, as no surprise. And you said you should have some money in cash. Well, let's say I have some money in cash and they say, we're going to do a bail-in and then we're going to go to digital currency. You have to turn it in. Okay. I guess I will. I know you'll give me, like, you know, 100% credit the first 3 months. You know, 50% the next, and then, you know, quarter three, it's federally illegal. I mean, don't tell me everything doesn't keep us occupied from what's really important, keeps us distracted. Well, we're going off a cliff while we're being distracted. So when you hear that there's a bank bail, you know, a bank holiday on Monday morning, you're not going to get your money. So when I say that I've been watching this since 2014, this was actually in with one of my credit union statements. I have since found different verbiage on the same thing with different financial institutions. believe me, this is going to cover your money markets. So you're not safe at Fidelity or Vanguard or whomever. It's going to cover credit unions, banks, online banks, anywhere you go. So let me read word for word what was in my statement. Withdrawal limitations. This clause may require you to provide the credit union written notice of your intent to make a withdrawal from your account at least 7 calendar days and up to 60 calendar days before you would like to make the withdrawal. The credit union may also limit the amount of cash provided in a withdrawal and may limit larger amounts to be non-cash items. All right, there's two things to unpack there. One, as soon as you tell me I may have to wait 7 to 60 days, well, that means something's wrong. I promise you something's wrong, because usually a bank means you can go in and you can get your money other than a short period of time with COVID shutdowns. So the second part of that, you know what's glaring to me? What's the amount? What do you consider, Mr. Bank or credit union, to be a larger amount? You know, I read this where if I want $14 to buy a hamburger, sorry, you have to first of all give us a notice of a week to 2 months. Second of all, well, we're going to give you a check. You know, what is a non-cash item? Well, a non-cash item means a transfer. It's an official check or a cashier's check. What good is that going to do me? Now, let me really get this to the bail-in. So this has been put in place. You know, don't fool yourself. When we watched the bail-in in Greece, it was a nightmare. There were rioting. There were people that were literally set on fire in front of the banks. And try to keep it from our media. There were people in other countries that found it. So I was able to find it through some of the other news sources around the world. So but the problem is other countries have had different trials and tribulations. This country is so asleep. And I don't mean to make such a generalization, but in this country is so fat, lazy, instant gratification. We are so ripe for the end of countryhood. So what I think, how this plays out, sorry, it's really hard for me to get to the point, is they are going to do a bank holiday. They are going to bail in, and then it's going to transition right into the digital currency. So everything's working its magic at one time. When we talk about solutions, yes, right now you should have some cash. If you talk to the prepper side of me, I would say take some of that bank money, not making all that great of interest, and buy a generator, solar, of course, buy some extra food, water, tower, garden, do your thing. Maybe have, you know, a co-op, make sure you know people out of the city that will feed you if need be. So with the whole bail-in, Anthony, where you and I disagree a little bit, if I have $100,000 in the bank, and you have $100,000, say in an insurance company, and they do a bail-in, my $100,000 is gone. I can't get it. So you said you're fourth down in the rung, you know, and with stocks, there's different levels of stock. There's preferred stock.
Well, it's not necessarily that it's gone. It's that you're not going to have access to it.
That's gone.
You know, at if some I don't point. So say, it's gone to me. I mean, we don't know how long it's going to be gone for. It might, you know, it might be 6 weeks, 6 months, who knows? I don't think it's gone, though.
I do. I think it's gone. I think we have to go to a new currency. I think we are so past broke in this country. By the way, on the books, they tell us we have $30.5 trillion in debt. Does everybody know that? You know, what are the underfunded and unfunded liabilities? A lot bigger than that. You know, derivatives was in the news this morning. Jamie Dimon, you know, here he goes again. They said that they can't do any stock purchasing. You know, he's under fire again. You know, when he had, what, 5 or 6 felonies, how did they award him? Well, they gave him $50 million. I mean, there are a lot of interesting news out there if you look for it. So I do think it's gone. I think if I have $100,000 in the bank, it's gone. Even if they say don't panic, like they did in Greece, you know, your money's safe, but you can only have 60 euros a day. And right now, euros is about the same as dollars. Well, okay, if I have $100,000 there and I can have 60 day, trust me, I'm going to panic. And this country is huge. Greece is a little tiny country. We are a big, huge country. So I think the proportionate, the magnitude is going to be staggering. So, and then I think it ushers in the digital currency. And then I think we have to talk about, you know, ESG scores. I think we have to talk about social scores. And I know that's real tinfoil hat of me to bring up, but then I think we're going to a digital currency and you have inversion rate on $100,000 from the bank to the digital currency. Who gets to decide who the good people are and who's the bad? If you have $100,000 in an insurance company, either way, you're going to have to go through that conversion period and get it into the new digital currency. So, you know, that's a tough one. I mean, because basically, if I think your money's gone, no matter where it is, then what good is any of this? Well, then maybe you should just buy farmland and buy a farm and, you know, don't have any money. But what if this happens, but not for 20 years? I mean, there's pros and cons. There's so much to all of this. Man, we did spend the whole hour on the Bailyn, didn't we? Oh, by the way, the WEF came out and they said that it's time to eliminate private automobile ownership. Did you hear that this week?
I did not. But let's back. I do want to touch on that because talk about the insurance companies, right? It's a great way to get the money out of the bank. But you're saying if you have $100,000 in the bank, you know, before we started recording, you said if you have $100,000 in the bank and $100,000 in a insurance company, the insurance company is going to have its conversion ratio. You know, if it's one US dollar equals one digital dollar, 1-to-1, you're saying you're going to have $100,000 either way. Yeah, now you're saying if in the bank you have $100,000, they're going to bail it and you're going to have less. You think there's going to be a different ratio for that?
Big time. Big time. I think almost 100 and nothing. I think what they want is the bank bailing money. They don't want to touch insurance companies. We all have to deal with what I think is coming with digital currency, no matter where our money is. But
why do you think that, though? Because that seems like, to me, a conversion for a dollar is going to be the same wherever
because
it's held.
Did the insurance companies increase or did they just touch the banks? Ooh, a cliffhanger.
The bail-in was just for the banks. That makes sense.
Yes. So that's why I think.
So anyways, I do want to continue this discussion, you know, and maybe next week, another show. But again, I disagreed with you completely until I read that bid in here that says the exchange ratio for a class of Cs may be zero. So I thought you were crazy. And then I read that in their bail-in operational guide. And I was like, oh, well, maybe they justify some of this bank money as less. So maybe you're onto something, which is terrifying. So, but that's been our show today. Hopefully you guys enjoyed it. Hopefully you learned something. You can listen to this show and past shows on our website at anothermoneyshow.com. Questions, concerns, get a hold of us at team@anothermoneyshow.com. And we appreciate you listening. We hope you listen some more.
Thanks for listening to Another Money Show. You deserve to work with a private wealth management firm that will strategically work to protect your hard-earned assets. To schedule your free, no-obligation consultation, visit anothermoneyshow.com. Investment advisory services offered through Brookstone Capital Management, LLC, BCM, a registered investment advisor. BCM and Rochford Financial are independent of each other. Insurance products and services are not offered through BCM, but are offered and sold through individually licensed and appointed agents. Investments involve risk and, unless otherwise stated, are not guaranteed. Past performance cannot be used as an indicator to determine future results.